And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Music, like poetry, has a message, and history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. News can create a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back the curtain to see the contributions of our diaspora, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves. So thank you for joining us for another edition and episode where we will make a difference and show you a different perspective from our community.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio. And this is student host Walter Pierce on the mic. And, you know, coming up this Monday, it is a very important day in our African-American history. And the day that's coming up is coming up this Monday, which is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., of course, everybody should actually know about. You know, he's talked about, he's always the first person you'll hear brought up when a discussion about our African-American history, the civil rights movement, the March on Washington, when all that's brought up, he's always the first person that's always going to be brought up because, of course, he was the most outspoken. He was the person who went to all these different places in the country to go fight for equality, even if it meant being arrested, being beaten, you know, many other things that happened that he had to sacrifice. But, you know, of course, I want to start off, you know, with a diamond on Martin Luther King Jr. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., you know, he was a Baptist minister who advocated the use of nonviolent means to end racial segregation. He first came to national prominence during a bus boycott by African Americans in Montgomery, Alabama, in 1955. He founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in 1957 and led the 1963 March on Washington. The most influential of African American civil rights leaders during the 1960s, he was instrumental in the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Which outlawed discrimination in public accommodations, facilities, and employment in the Voting Rights Act of 1965. King was awarded the Nobel Prize for Peace in 1964. He was assassinated on April 4th, 1968. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is celebrated on Monday, January 18th, 2021. You know, immediately after his death, there were calls for a national holiday in his honor. Beginning in 1970, a number of states and cities made his birthday, January 15th, a holiday. Although legislation for a federal holiday was introduced in Congress as early as 1968, there was sufficient opposition on racial and political grounds to block its passage. In 1983, legislation made the third Monday in January a federal holiday, finally was passed, and the first observance nationwide was in 1986. The day is usually celebrated with marches and parades and with speeches by civil rights and political leaders. And, you know, again, shout out Britannica.com for that little piece on the history that basically sums up how, you know, this day came about. Of course, you know, I know people, we have Chris with us right now, but before, you know, I asked for his input on Martin Luther King. You know, you just have to think about him, you know, as a person and what he has done and why this day is so important, especially for our history, you know? And, of course, he hasn't done it alone. There was many other people, prominent African Americans, who were by his side and who helped assist this movement. And, you know, without them, he wouldn't be able to, of course, be the person as big as he was. You know, he couldn't do it all by himself. So, you know, one person I always think about when I think about somebody that was close and that was somebody that really helped in the system was, you know, John Lewis. You know, John Lewis during that time was somebody who was, you know, very young and, you know, who was growing up in this world, but, you know, understand that there needed to be a change. And he was somebody who, like Dr. King was not afraid of doing the things and doing these different movements, sit-ins, you know, facing police. And of course, he wasn't scared, and he was somebody who participated in a lot of these, you know, even if it meant being abused, beaten, you know, confrontation with police. You know, he still wanted to set the example and wanted to be a part of it, you know. But of course, there's many other people that you could point to that was always somebody who helped them out. But of course, you know, just another thing I want to say, you know, when somebody as Dr. King became such a powerful voice in our community for African Americans, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, people who, you know, government, white America, you know, they see this during this time period and they start to get shaken by it. You have somebody of this stature that has this much power in our African American communities, and this many people know about him and are inspired about what he's doing and want to participate. You know, somebody like that is somebody that white America, you know, wants to actually silence and take out. You know, sadly, he was eventually assassinated. But again, you know, even with, you know, him meeting somebody like Malcolm X, who was a person that was had a different viewpoint than what he had, very different ideas of how to solve the racial problems in America. But at the end of the day, them coming together will make them even more powerful, even twice as more powerful, because of how the different audiences and different people who followed those people, you know, would have came along, you know, would have united and would have made the African American movement even more powerful. But, you know, sadly, both of them being assassinated, you know, just shows what white America during that time period thought about people like him, you know. And it's just sad to see something like that. But, you know, ever since, you know, we never made sure we forgot about him. We pushed for this day, the third Monday of January, which is January 18th this year, to be a national holiday for him. And so we could be able to recognize his achievements, his accolades, and, you know, just the person he was and the people who surrounded him and helped him be the person who he was as well. So that's all I have for right now. You know, I know we have Chris on the line as well. So, you know, Chris, if you have any other input you want to add on about Martin Luther King Jr. and about the Martin Luther King Jr. Day, you know, I'll pass the mic on to you.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, everybody? Christopher Lynch speaking. So our topic of discussion today is Martin Luther King, a renowned civil rights activist. Yeah, Walter, you hit on a lot of key points. You know, every year we speak on Martin Luther King, there's always some new information to be dug up about him, because, you know, everybody has intricate details in their life, but this man here, he worked with so many people that it's hard to just, you know, it's hard to pull up every little thing that he done. So it's a few things that I think I came across something interesting that not too many people knew about Martin Luther King. Besides the fact that a lot of people are familiar with his I Have a Dream speech, but they probably don't know about his personal life. Like, one piece of information that I came up discovering was that his birth name isn't Martin Luther King. You know, he was actually born Michael King Jr., and that was after his father. So that was very, very, like, new to me about Martin Luther King. I didn't know that about him. But also another thing, as a youngin, he had an affinity to fight for racial justice as a kid. You know, it's rare to see children these days, young teens, that have the tenacity to want to fight for equality. You know, where kids today usually run around and want to enjoy kid things, life, things like that. He dedicated a lot of his time as a teen wanting to fight for equal rights. You know, it was tough in those days that he grew up in, but it didn't stop him from wanting to achieve equality. And he also, what made him so good as a public speaker not a lot of people would have paid attention to this either, including myself. I'm not exactly an equator. But this is what, you know, learning about our history does for us. It brings up new things all the time, you know. Otherwise, we would have exhausted everything we need to know about King. But he also, in his younger days, he won a public speaking talent back in Georgia at the age of 14. The Negro and Constitution. He won that oratory contest. So it helped him shape his professional and candor about speaking in front of the public masses. So while he seems to have so much confidence and this air around him that commands attention, is because he had practiced since a youngin at speaking in front of the public. So that was pretty interesting information that I discovered about him. But yeah, he was a very passionate person, man. And he led the way for a lot of things that transpired as the time went on. You know, as a civil rights activist, I'm pretty sure he had inspired the many activists of today. You know, we got activists today. A few, like Michelle Alexander, she's a civil rights lawyer and a scholar. She's from Columbus, Ohio. And she also wrote the book, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. So she's one of the activists that we have currently today that ties into Martin Luther King and his contributions to today. You have Patrice Cullors. You have another activist, Erica Andiola. And then you have another one, Chad Griffin. So, you know, Martin Luther King left a great impact on the world as we know it today. And it's shaping us up to really see equality as he dreamt it and as he gave other people the vision to see it. You know, not a lot of people seeing what he saw. He put the work in, you know. It's not all the time you can get someone to see the same vision that you have. But it's up to you to bring that vision, to make that vision become fruitful. You know, everyone doesn't have that future sight that you may have or that he had, you know. So that was good, and I appreciate him for his tenacity. I mean, he was very vigorous at what it was that he did for us. You know, he didn't just do it for himself, for his family. He did it for this entire country because he seen the direction that it was. He seen what it was as it was and how it could be in the next few years without change, and then he envisioned how it could be with change. And he worked hand in hand with the presidents of his time as well to make these changes. You know, it wasn't just him by himself. He collaborated himself side by side with a lot of important pieces to make things happen. So he's definitely a big icon in my book. You know, a lot of people don't choose to recognize him because of history. You know, people don't have the patience to learn about the things that shape the world that we live in today. But you got to have that respect for that, you know. If you don't have the respect for the foundation of what we have today, you can't really contribute any valid information or contributions to build upon the world that we live in today. It won't have any real substance, you know. So that's about what I came up with, and I appreciate the time for being able to speak on that. You know, Mr. Bay, you got anything you want to discuss about this topic of the day, about Brother Martin Luther King?
Absolutely. And we have plenty of time as we move along. Tanisha, I'm going to bring you on. But before I do, I would like to normally play a song. But this week, I'm going to play a speech, We Shall Overcome, so that we can hear.
We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators, but we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the corner.
And that being said by his voice, his spirit still lives on. Tanisha, so far from what you've heard, what question or comment or input do you have?
2021 is the year of structure. Everything that he said, and if you looked at us now, from the past to the future now, I believe they'd be pretty proud of us. We just got to step up our game and really fight for our people. You know, especially it's so crazy because when before he got assassinated, he did a speech about the Vietnam War and about the Vietnamese and the poor being alike. And it's so crazy because I live in the Ironbound, and Agent Orange was actually the chemical that killed, in the Vietnam War. And just to see the history that still lingers from that, even though America went, to Vietnam and affected the soldiers and that land, but it also affected us. And we live here in America, and that's something to really think about. And that's why we always have to fight, because I do a lot of advocacy, through the environmental justice piece. And I also, wrote letters to the EPA. So, talking about the issues that affects us in the Ironbound when it comes to economic injustice, And it's crazy because the EPA and the DEP deemed us as an environmental justice area, means that we are very hit by so many different pollutants of community impacts through so many different corporations. And that's why we got to continue to fight. So everything that Martin Luther King said is prevalent back then and is still prevalent now. And that's why we got to keep on fighting. So I definitely, this is definitely awesome.
Okay. Let's see what we have musically coming up.
When you said yesterday that it's nearly Christmas, what did I want? And I thought, just love me. That's what I want for Christmas. When I walk through a room, let them see you need me. Walk through a room, let them see you love me. Love me. Love me. That's
And now, welcome back to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 SOU HD. And what I want for Christmas is not only peace, peace of mind, and a change from this pandemic. And how appropriate would that song be? Walter, I want to ask you your interpretation of a popular quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Are you ready?
Yes.
Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
Okay, so hate cannot drive out hate. Only love could do that. What I think, my first thing, you know, this is, when I first hear that, I guess what I think about, you know, hate cannot drive out hate. You know, I guess when I hear that, it's like two wrongs can't make a right. If you understand what I'm saying, like, you know, doing something like hateful just because somebody did it to you, you know, trying to get them back, you know, it's not going to take away that hate. Because it just becomes, in my opinion, a continuous cycle of just you trying to get even with each other. As an example, you know. Just showing that you're a loving person or showing love, when I think about, you know, when I hear that, you know, showing love would just can open more eyes. And it will start to understand how change how people act and are towards you. You know, another thing, you know, when somebody does something, you know, hateful, it's usually, you know, they'll want a bad reaction out of it, or they'll want a reaction that's just going to keep tempting them to keep doing it again. But you know, when you do something unexpected, something that is loving, that is something that's going to catch somebody off guard, and you know, it's going to change the way they think about you, actually. You know, so that's my first interpretation on that. You know, just don't try to counter hate with hate. You know, try to actually see the light. You know, and then people will start to, you know, stop doing what they're doing, and change their viewpoint and change their ideas.
I think you did a good job. You see, when we relate that into today's society, you cannot confront, and this is what he had to contend with, you cannot confront hatred from a people with hate. There was no way to fight the hatred that we had to be bombarded with when we talked about voting rights, when we talked about disparities, when we talked about our civil rights. We had to show more character. And by that, we had to use love to be successful. Now, I want to bring Chris in. And Chris, I have a quote for you. And I want you to make an interpretation and try your best to relate it until today's time. Are you ready? Shoot. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. That in itself is a powerful quote. Okay. To make it, like, concise, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. To have injustice anywhere would be, in my words, to have injustice anywhere would be to say that you, not us particularly, but that you would support this action of injustice. And if you support the wrongful treatment and the inequality of a people, you support that anywhere you go. If anybody comes from an area of injustice, unjustful practice, to go somewhere where justice is, you know, seen as relevant and important, you will fight for the side of injustice because that's all you know. And that's a threat to justice everywhere. We're all human, and we have God-given natural rights. You know, and one of those natural rights, the core of those natural rights is the right to live, to survive. And then you also have the right to pursuit of happiness. You know, no one can be happy in an unjustful situation. You know, those circumstances are very limited to progress. You know, it's inhumane. So a justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere says a lot, because injustice can pervade, it could pervade the entire country and therefore lead it back to a time of slavery, you know, a two-tier system where superiority and inferiority exist. It'll undo every work that our ancestors had worked hard to, you know, stabilize for us, the world, the way that we know the world today. Tanisha said that she feels that Dr. Martin Luther King will be proud of the steps that we've taken today, and I think so too. And I couldn't help but to imagine how Martin Luther King would be sitting in a rocking chair somewhere, swaying to the song that he just played, you know, and being influenced by the words. So, I take that back to currently. We fight. I mentioned a few civil rights activists earlier on. And to have injustice purposefully be supported, it would not cancel out what our activists are trying to cancel out. Look at it as an algebraic equation. You know, if you take an injustice, even the quote that you asked Walter, you know, If you add hate to hate, it only increases hate. But if you you add love to hate, it decreases it and neutralizes it. And if you continue to add love to love, it increases love and multiplies it. And that's the direction that our civil rights activists are trying to take it today, to increase the love and prevail over hate, eliminate it.
Okay. I want to add to you, to that quote and interpretation, that there are a lot of people who have benefited from the civil rights movement. The injustices that our people had to endure during this particular period of time, and we still endure today, right? The benefits from the civil rights movement, the justices and the things that we fought for, everyone in the United States have benefited from. So those injustices that he talks about are injustices everywhere for anyone, is an example of how we should set and understand how the rules should be governed for our country and how people should live. And so I'm going to come back with more quotes, but before I do, I have one song that I want to play, and it's entitled Love is the Message. So sit back, relax. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations on 89.5. Good morning. Okay, as we turn down the music, we're back. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5. You're just listening to the MSSB, Love is the Message. And we have Tanisha here. And the quote that I would like for you to interpret, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter.
Yeah. When you stop talking, you're dead. So that means in order for you to stay alive, you have to do things that people will remember and that you leave a legacy. And your legacy is by you teaching and organizing and keep spreading it, and they keep growing and growing and growing. And that's what we need in life, to remember that we are the authors of our destiny. And it's very important. You know, we have to know who we are. What is our mission? What is our vision? What are we doing? What do we want to accomplish? How are we going to touch other people's lives? And that's what keeps us alive for now and to the time that we do pass, because, like I said, we're physical and we're also spiritual beings. So our spiritual side never dies. So that's what keeps us alive.
Okay.
Yes, and welcome back, everybody, to Quest Youth Radio. We are more than halfway through the show, coming to the end. But, you know, I have another segment dealing with Martin Luther King, and I believe this definition that I'm about to provide, you know, is something that fits in with his, you know, characteristics. And somebody, a person who has always dealt with this. And, you know, the intro for definitions is, this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning to say that we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And, you know, the definition that I have for today is adversity. And, you know, adversity, what it basically means is difficulties or misfortunes, you know, that someone faces. Of course, you know, a lot of people in the African American community has dealt with, you know, misfortunes, difficulties, or adversity. But, you know, somebody who just handled it better than anybody is Martin Luther King Jr. And, you know, adversity was always thrown his way. because, of course, how prominent and how powerful he was in our community, there was always going to be adversity behind every single thing he did. I want to shout out, a movie, Selma, that I believe, if you really want to get to know about the things that Martin Luther King has done, that's a movie people used to watch. I watched it, a little bit before it actually came out, about, 7 years ago, I was able to watch the film, and it was an amazing film. Then, of course, I was very, very young then, but, now, after watching it a couple more times, I'm starting to understand it even more. But basically, it was the part where, they march, they're marching, in Selma, the Edmund Pettus Bridge is actually the actual name of the bridge they were marching across. And, of course, the governor, he ordered out, troops and everybody to try to force them to stop and, turn around and to end their movement. But, of course, Martin Luther King, everybody looking to him, see what he's going to do, he refused. That caused a lot of, chaos because, eventually, after telling the officers, everybody that was there, that they're not going to end, they're going to continue, then that's when all the holding, all the abuse, the beatings, and the brutality just started from the police. And, a lot of people were injured that day, and a lot of people were angered. It was a part right after, it was a couple guys, over there saying, we should go over there and try to fight him, kill him, actually had guns and things like that. But, Martin Luther King handled that situation by telling them, they got twice, three times, four times, 10 times more guns they have down there than what we have. So what sense does that make us going down there and trying to pick a war with them, violently? That's some adversity he had to deal with. And, even people angered, people not wanting to go back out there, because they know what's going to happen. He had to come up with this final decision. He had to make his mark and actually, just say, we're going to go back out there and we're going to go again across that bridge and nobody's going to stop us. And that was something, that people disagreed, people agreed, but, there was a lot of different views on it. But, at the end of the day, that's exactly what they did. And, he was the leader of it. And he led everybody. Everybody looked up to him. Everybody took his orders and ran with it. And, that was something, again, if you ever get to watch the movie Selma, I advise you to definitely do, especially for this weekend. This upcoming, Monday. I advise you to watch it.
Let me interrupt you, and I apologize, but let's listen into the words once again of Martin Luther King, right, as opposed to just the movie, right, which is a good suggestion, but let's listen to the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Every now and then, I guess we all think realistically.
Yes, sir.
About that day when we will be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. That's something that we call death. We all think about it, and every now and then I think about my own death, and I think about my own funeral, and I don't think of it in a morbid sense. Every now and then I ask myself, what is it? But I would want to say it, and I leave the word to you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. And every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards, that's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian, or if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Yes, Jesus, I want to be on your right or your left side. Not for any selfish reason. I want to be on your right or your left side. Not in terms of some political kingdom or ambition, but I just want to be there in love and in justice and in truth and in commitment to others so that we can make of this old world a new world.
Okay. And we're about to wrap up the show, but before we do, I want to bring in 6139. And I want your interpretation of today's show. And before you give that, I would like to say happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. As I said, this is the age of Aquarius. We have to know who we are. And by knowing who we are is about studying our ancestors and what blueprint they have left. And we just have to put the pieces together. And then that's how we overcome, as we say. And this will be our new world order.
Okay. All right. Now, I think I made a mistake, but I got you this time. It's your birthday. You have a question or comment, Calvin?
Yeah, thank you for the birthday comment. Good show, great show. Listen, just let peace prevail. In light of what we're going in, it's ironic how the backdrop of, the celebration of Martin Luther King is on the backdrop of something destructive as what we've been witnessing. Stay safe, my brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Thank you. And we have a caller from North Carolina on the line. Do you have a question or comment? Okay, Chris, last word, question, well, not question or comment. Chris.
Yes. Today's show was phenomenal. I appreciate everybody's piece of information that they brought to the table today. This is Tanisha, Walter, you did phenomenal with that information, bro. I'm really, surprised because your youth is beyond the youth that I see in your age bracket. And, Mr. Bay, you always got the wisdom, man. You always got it. But, today's show was awesome. I'm glad to be a part and, give my little insight about what happened, the current events of Martin Luther King. And I hope everybody celebrates him in a proper, respective manner.
Okay. And that means not going out, taking advantage of sales because people have tried to manipulate the man and the holiday. Walter, close us out.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. We're on 89.5 from the campus. I mean, you know, WSOU.
Yeah, that's right.
But WSOU. But again, Quest Youth Radio is the best,
the best youth radio. All right. So, like Walter said, I want to thank you for joining us once again for another episode that you've just got finished hearing and a different perspective of our community as we focused in on Martin Luther King. Thank you. Until next Saturday, we'll see you. And thank you all for chiming in and being a part of this special edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Thank you.